I'll never have to hear the words, I believe it's 11 words, the most damning and fearful, dooming and just horrifying 11 words found in your Bible. It's words of finality. And it's where, at the great white throne judgment, which if you're saved, you will be there, not to be judged, but to witness those who are being judged, who rejected Christ, and as they come before the Lord and stand before the throne of God, they will say, I did great works, God. I preached in your name and I prophesied in your name and done many good works, and I give, and I was a member of the church, and I was a moral man. And this is God's response. This is the last words they'll ever hear God say to them before they're eternally separated from God Almighty. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. They say, but I know you. And God says, but I don't know you. Bind them hand and foot and cast them in the outer darkness. Can you imagine having to hear that? And listen to me. You say, but I'm saved. I'll never have to hear that. No, you're going to hear it. And I'm going to have to hear it because we're going to be there. And not only are we going to be there and have to hear it, but we're going to have to hear it be said to people that we love dearly. People that God give us a lifetime or years or time after time after time, an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And we were so busy, or we just didn't feel like it, or whatever. I want to encourage myself and every one of us this morning, because the Bible said, if we don't tell them, their blood's gonna be on their hands. And you talking about an eternal hatred when they're being bound hand and foot and they're being drug out to be cast into the lake of fire. I'm talking about some of you daddies, some of you mamas, some of you kids, some of your best friends, aunts and uncles. And they're being drug out to be cast into the lake of fire. They're not going to turn to us and say, I love you. Goodbye forever. I love you. They're going to be screaming at the top of their lungs, how could you? How could you let me die and go to hell when you knew? And so I plead with every one of us that ought to put a burden in our heart to pray and weep and seek the Lord and to witness to all those that we know and love and care where they spend eternity. Amen. I know that's serious and dark and sobering, but listen, it's the truth. And the Bible says, know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What could be more liberating than I've had the privilege of doing this. There's nothing more liberating than telling somebody about Jesus and seeing them be set free from the chains of sin and seeing Christ come into their heart and see the world lifted off of them and see the glow of God as Jesus has moved into them. You talking about liberating? Well, I mean, you should know about it. If you saved, you've experienced that yourself. And so it should be something that we don't have any problem whatsoever doing. It's just like fishing. So people say, well, I have witnessed before and I have told people before, but they just don't ever want to listen. And nobody ever wants it. Yeah, I'm aware. I'm well aware. But last I checked, just because you didn't catch no fish the last time you went, don't mean you sold your boat and all your fishing rods and ain't planning to go back. So there's going to be days when you don't get a bite. And them days are terrible. I'd just soon be at the house. But listen, ask Brother Steve. He'll tell you, we sit on the lake many a days and didn't get a bite. But we sat there one day at Clark Hill, and buddy, I was baptized by fire with Brother Steve, and he got us in a honey hole. And I mean, listen, we had two ice chests bigger than this pulpit, and I had two so big they broke off. And then I finally got one to the boat, 36 pound striper, buddy. You say, oh, that's little. It wasn't little to me. That was a monster to me. But I was hooked. Anytime he's called me since, said, you gonna go fishing? Yes, sir. All them days that we sat there and didn't catch nothing faded into oblivion because there's that opportunity to get in. We was throwing 10 and 15 pounders back because we didn't have nowhere else to put them. I'm saying, you ever win somebody to Jesus and see and experience the joy, which is way better than catching a 36-pound striper or killing a 15-point buck, to see somebody set free from their sin and no longer headed for hell, but now are headed for heaven, and God lets you have a part in that, you'll be hooked for life. And so if you hadn't ever tried it, I encourage you strongly. Get you some gospel tracts, and it leads you right through the scripture, which Bible verses and all that. And the devil tries to confuse Christian people, especially young converts, and that you can't do it, that you can't lead somebody to the Lord, and you can't. I'm telling you, the Bible said if you're saved, the Holy Ghost, He dwells within you. And He will guide you. He's your personal guide. He will guide you, not just anywhere. He will guide you into all truth. And we know that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it ain't God's fault. This ain't the message, so I got to button this up. It's us. We gotta take a big old swallow and get that pride down, get that nervousness down, and then just go start casting until you catch one, and then you'll be hooked. Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 16, and we will probably deal with this again tonight because it's a pretty long message in content. And so I won't try to get it all done this morning. But Romans chapter number 16, let me say, Brother Jackie said something about Pastor Appreciation Day, and some's already give a card and things of that nature, and I want to say thank you for that, and it's been the honor of my life to be the pastor of this church. But Brother Jackie ain't going to say anything, but he's our assistant pastor, and so I would also encourage you to get by and shake his hand and let him know how much you appreciate all that he does and in and around the church, and he's a true faithful man of God, and we are beyond blessed to have him as our assistant pastor. So make sure you get by and shake his hand and give him a card. Hey, give him a card and tell him how much you love him, but it don't hurt. Put a couple of Ben Franklins in there. I'm not joking. The Bible says that the man of God, he's worth double higher. That's right. And so be good to these preachers, and God will bless you for it. Romans chapter number 16, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. I tell you what, let's do. You've been seated well. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to read verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to drop down and read verses 24 through verse 27. Verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succourer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life, listen, laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Verse 24. The Bible said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God, only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I'm going to preach this morning and this evening with the help of the Lord on this subject, tributaries in the Christian life. Tributaries in the Christian life. And I'm going to take the majority of the time I have this morning and lay the groundwork, and I want you to hang with me, and you got to come back tonight. I ain't got time to get into this, but listen to me. Everybody look up here at me for a moment. Everybody looking? I see people ain't looking. I ask nice. Am I going to have to come stand beside your pew and talk to you? I'm just kidding. Listen, can somebody please explain to me what happens on a Sunday afternoon to where people disappear and or get mysteriously sick, and then by Monday morning, time to go to work, they are healed and they've been dropped back in from outer space, wherever they drifted off to. I'm being facetious. Just to simply say, if church is worth going to, then why not do what the Bible says? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as we see that day approaching, meaning the coming of Christ. If you can't look around this world and see that Jesus, that we're closer to the coming of Jesus than ever before, then me and you need to talk, and I can take the Bible and show you. But if there's ever been a time that you, listen, that you and your family and your children need to be under the preaching and the teaching and of the Word of God and hearing the songs of Zion and being surrounded with your brothers and sisters in Christ and being encouraged, because the world is so discouraging, devilish, and demonic. It's in the day and hour that we live. In other words, put simple, you can't afford to miss. You need to be in church. I know it's a national phenomenon. I know that every church, almost every single church, starts out with a Sunday morning crowd. Morning glories is what I call them. They pop up on Sunday morning, pat themselves on the back on the way out the door and say, "I done you a favor, Lord." You ain't done God a favor. God done you a favor by letting you wake up this morning and having the health to be here this morning. I got two texts this morning. Brother Dennis is on his Cook's on his way to the hospital right now. He's there now. Left this morning. Miss Sandy Grizzle texts said, "Please pray for Bobby's mom. We're on the way to the hospital." That could just as well been me or you, but yet God let you wake up this morning with health and with wheels to get you here. You're sitting on padded pews in an air-conditioned or heated building. Feels heated to me. Probably feels, I'm sure, air-conditioned to some. But I'm simply saying God's blessed us beyond measure. And so please help me understand. If someone give me the answer to this question, I will give you this microphone and the rest of my time to let you explain it. What's the difference of coming to church on Sunday morning and being back on Sunday night? Anybody? Because Hebrews 10:25 don't say, "Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together on Sunday morning only." No, I'm saying you need, your family needs, your children needs, and your church needs you here when the doors are open. You say, "I really don't need it." Well, the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, "Well, I can read my Bible at home." I didn't say read. The Bible didn't say read. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing. Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I want to plead with you, and I'm taking time on purpose this morning, because I can't preach this to you tonight because your sorry tail ain't going to be here. Hello, Tokyo. Y'all out there? Listen to me. Listen to me. If you have a physical malady, I understand that, and God does too. And I ain't talking about a sniffle. I ain't talking about sinuses. I'm talking about it. But if you got a serious issue, God understands that. If you have a second shift job, I understand that. But I'm saying to just sit at the house or make plans or go to the lake or go hunting or go do your hobbies, I promise you, and I love you enough to tell you the truth, that ain't going to hold at the judgment seat. It used to be that church mattered. It used to be, and there's people in this room who used to wouldn't dare miss church. And now, you can take it or leave it. And I say to you in love, shame on you. God deserves better than that. God give His Son to die for our sin and to save us from hell. The least we could do. Listen, I'm not talking about some good. Bless our heart. I'm not talking about something complicated. I'm not dealing with something that's above our head. I'm talking about this is the most basic, primary, elementary part of being a Christian. It is just getting up and not being lazy and spitting in God's face and saying, "I ain't going tonight." And then you get in that rhythm and you get in that habit, and before you know it, you just a Sunday morning glory. Ain't you glad? The Bible said about Jesus that Jesus fell beneath the load when He was carrying your cross and mine. Brother Jeff, Bible said, but he got up and went a little further. He kept going and he kept going and he kept going while the blood trickled down his face. And hey, listen, while the crown of thorns was on his head and while his back looked like hamburger meat and you could see his organs, he continued and he went all the way so that he could redeem and purchase our salvation. Not because he had sinned, because he knew no sin, but we were the sinners. It should have been me and should have been you hanging on that cross. But Jesus did that for every sinner so that we would have a way and have an opportunity to be forgiven of all our sin. And listen, all he asked in return was to love him. How do we love him? We love his word so he can talk to us. We love prayer so we can talk to him. And we show him that we love him by coming to his house. This ain't my house. Michael Rochester don't own this building, this property. It ain't mine. You know who this belongs to? The Lord. This is our Father's house. And I'm pleading with you. I had no intentions of saying this morning, but I'm pleading with you. I believe it'd make the heart of God so happy. I believe a big old grin would come across the face of God the Father and Jesus if he's seen every one of you back in church tonight who normally only come on Sunday mornings. You know what that would say? It would say to heaven, it would say to God, they do love me. They do make me a priority. They do care. I felt led by the Lord to encourage you. Not so I can say, hey, we had a big crowd Sunday night. No, so I want God to smile. Amen. I want God to feel loved. I want my Father. I am a father. And I listen, you that are fathers, you know what it's like when your child breaks your heart, they let you down, they do wrong, and boy, how it cuts to the heart. You mothers know the same way. You'd rather anybody else just smack you in the face than for one of your children to mess up and do something goofy and stupid. It hurts, but they ain't nothing like when they come home and they got straight A's and they've put the work in. Or they come home from church and they quote the Bible verses verbatim. When they come home and talk to you and tell you how much they love you and they wrap them little arms around you and just snuggle with you and love on you and hug on you, they ain't nobody else in the world can make you feel that way besides your own children. And all God's wanting from you and from me, after all he's done, is to just come to his house and love on him. Everybody listening? Do y'all think that's like way out of bounds and like that God's asking way too much? He gives you 6 days a week to do whatever you want to do. But he said about this day, this is my day. This is the Lord's day. And so it ain't asking too much for us to show him. So let's give the devil a black eye tonight. I'm sincere. I want every one of you to make up your mind. Unless I'm sitting in the hospital or working, I'm going to have my tail in my pew this evening And I'm going to show the devil he ain't winning. My flesh, and it ain't as much the devil. I'm going to reckon myself to be dead. I'm going to mortify my members. And I am going to, by the grace of God, I'm going to deny my flesh, take up my cross. And I'm headed to the house of God to show my Father that I love him tonight. Amen. 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 Well, now I'm going to give you the introduction to the message. This is going to be nothing but more than a geography class for a few minutes and be like one of the craziest, goofiest messages you've ever heard in your life, and you'll walk out wondering, what in creation was he talking about if you don't come back tonight? If you come back tonight, I promise you, God will bless you and help you, and this will make complete sense. All right? I can't waste any more time. So, I'm preaching on the subject, the tributaries in the Christian life. By way of introduction, the name Mississippi was derived from the Algonquin speaking Indians, who dubbed it the Miss, the Big, that's where Miss comes from, and Water, Sippy. That's where the word Mississippi come from, Big Water. The river was also referred to as the Father of Waters. Listen to these statistics, these facts. It is 2,340 miles long. The Mississippi River originates in Lake Itasca in Minnesota and ends at the Gulf of Mexico. The Mississippi River drops a whopping 1,475 feet, measuring from its source in the north of Minnesota all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. The Mississippi River is home to a large ecosystem of fish, birds, amphibians, and mammals. At the last available data set, there is a total of 50 species of mammals, 360 species of fish, 145 species of amphibians, and 326 species of birds living around this river called the Mississippi River. Algerian's Point in New Orleans marks the deepest point on the Mississippi River. The deepest point measures approximately 200 feet deep. The river's widest point measures 11 miles wide. That's pretty amazing. 11 miles wide. No wonder they called it the big river, the big water. The Mississippi River's rate of discharge into the Gulf of Mexico is roughly, get this, 600,000 cubic feet of water per second. Making it the greatest river discharge in North America and the eighth greatest in the world. Scientists have calculated that it takes a total of 90 days for a drop of water to travel the entire length of the river. The river passes through 10 states. The Mississippi provides, hydroelectric power that generates electricity for several states. It also provides water for most of those same states. But this is what is fascinating. If you go to the headquarters of the Great Mississippi River, you'll be shocked. It is not at all what you would imagine. It is a creek that is about 18 feet wide and 18 inches deep. You can walk across it with your kids. I'm talking about the same river that's 11 miles wide and 200 feet deep downstream. Hang with me, I'm going somewhere. How did a river that started out as a trickling brook, able to become big enough to dump 600 cubic feet of water per second into the Gulf of Mexico, how did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. It had help. It didn't do it by itself. It couldn't. It went from that 18-inch deep trickle of a little stream, and it went down just a little piece, and it went down just a little piece, and it got wider and it got wider, and these tributaries, these other sources of water, these other streams, these other rivers began running into the Mississippi, and by the time you get to the end, it's the most massive river in America. You say, what's that got to do with God and the Bible? Just please hang with me. I said I'm preaching on the subject, the tributaries in the Christian life. And just so I don't lose you all, just like the Mississippi, I said, how did it get from 18 inches to that bit? It had help. It had tributaries that fed into it. In the Christian life, please hear me, you're going to have and be tributaries. You're going to have help to grow in the Christian life. You're going to have tributaries that pour in. You're going to have people that pour in. You're going to have prayers that pour into your life, or otherwise you're going to stay just some small, immature, ungrowing, midget, dwarf of a Christian. But with the tributaries that God supplies, the people that God supplies. Listen, today's Pastor Appreciation Day. I ain't patting myself on the back, but I do my best to preach the Bible. I don't preach my opinion. I just take the Word of God and preach the Word of God because I can't improve on the Word of God. Brother Jackie, when he gets up to preach, he takes the Word of God and he does it eloquently, but he takes the Word of God and he preaches it because we both know faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And we both know that when we take the Word of God and we preach it and we herald forth the gospel and the truths of the Word of God, that is a tributary that's pouring into your soul that will help you and make you grow. What about them praying mamas? I'd call them a tributary. You wouldn't have a pastor this morning if it wasn't for that little tributary sitting back there in the sound booth translating Spanish this morning. If you look back over your life and down through, take a walk back down through your history, I promise you, you could see and know God would point out to you those people and those prayers and those places that God used as tributaries to pour into your life, to help you become who you are today. And I hope you ain't done growing. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm trying to just whet your appetite. Everybody grab this statement. Grab this statement. Y'all ready to catch it? Listen. Ain't you glad God poured some tributaries into your life?
Hallelujah.
Ain't you glad God placed some tributaries in your life?
Thank God. Amen.
Ain't you glad God gave you a place called a tributary where you could be fed and grow and get all that God has for you? Yes, we are. Yes, I am. But hear me, how selfish could we be if after all the tributaries God supplied to and for us, we become a reservoir and we just soak it all in and take it all in and take it and take and that's all we are, is we just stingy, selfish takers. God don't want, God's happy as he can be making sure that you got tributaries to pour into you and to make you grow and become and develop to who he's conforming you to be. But it ain't God's will that you only get poured into, but God's wanting you to mature to the place that you become a tributary for other people, that God could use you and God could channel you, your testimony, your time, your prayer life, your friendship, your gifts, your encouragement, whatever it is, and God could use you to pour in to other people's lives. Because you know, do you know this is the truth? There are some people that I'll never reach. They some, not because I won't try. I'll be glad to talk to anybody, but they some people, Brother David, is just this way. Some people, they going to hear me, and they ain't going to want to hear nothing I have to say. But you could go talk to them, and they'd open up like a book. And God could use you to pour into them the gospel or encouragement or whatever the case. And just so I don't look terribly bad, they some people you could go talk to and they'd shut you and fold you up like a bad book. But I could come talk to them. I'm saying God needs and wants every one of us to not just receive and take and take and take. Couldn't you agree with me this morning? How many people would agree with me this morning? It's a pretty selfish person. It's a pretty stingy person. It's a pretty shameful person that's always on the take. That's why the Bible says more blessed to give than to receive. That ain't talking about just money. That's talking about your time, your talents, your treasure. Don't be a taker. Ain't you glad God wasn't a taker? Ain't you glad God was willing to put tributaries and pour himself? Listen, before God ever allowed people to start being poured into your life and things like that into your life, God himself led by example and said, I'm going to pour myself into you. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He dwells in you. He come and moved in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm saying, if God ain't too good for it, if it ain't beneath God, then why in the world could we not become tributaries to pour into the lives of others? Sadly, and I'm closing. Sadly, do you know what most churches have turned into in 2024? And then over the last decade or so, people used to go to church to worship God and to get their sin preached out of them. That's right. But somewhere along the way, preachers quit preaching about sin. And the Bible said they would. The Bible said they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We've lived to see that day. But churches have got to a place to where it's all about us inside these four walls. It's all about us. It's well, I Ask people when they leave a church, ask them, why did you leave the church? This is the most common answer I get. Well, I just wasn't getting fed. I just wasn't getting fed. They don't offer nothing for my children. Or, in other words, it's all about me and mine. When church was, God created and built the church so that the church could come in, yes, and get recharged to go out and tell a lost and dying world that they need Jesus and that we could come in and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And so, before we leave, let me finish by saying, as we will finish preaching this tonight on the subject, tributaries in the Christian life, how did that little babbling brook way up at Lake Itasca in Minnesota become such a mighty force of nature? The Mississippi River Basin drains over 40% of the continental United States. The basin spans across 31 states and two Canadian provinces. Any precipitation that falls within the area eventually ends up in the Mississippi River. There are at least 26 major rivers that flow into the Mississippi River. Rivers all the way up to Saskatchewan and Alberta, Canada. Rivers from Montana, North Dakota, and as far northeast as New York flow into it. Rivers from Colorado and New Mexico, Texas, flow east into the Mississippi River. Over 7,000 streams flow into the Mississippi River, not to mention the countless other unnamed watersheds and drainage points along the way. It is due to the many unseen, unrecognized contributions along the way. It's due to the thousands and thousands of tributaries, both great and small, known and unknown, that made the Mississippi what she is today. In Romans 16, Paul was acknowledging the tributaries in his life. Paul was one of the greatest preachers and missionaries to walk in shoe leather. I believe we could all say amen to that. He wrote 14 books of the Bible. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. He traveled all over Asia Minor 3 separate times, ministered on Cyprus and in which is modern-day Turkey. On his second missionary journey, he ministered in Greece, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, and Ephesus. On his third missionary journey, he revisited the churches in Asia Minor and Greece, started churches, trained pastors, wrote letters, dealt with church issues, addressed doctrinal error, motivated and inspired several generations of leaders in his time. But he did not accomplish all that alone. Just as the great Mississippi River had help along the way to make it what it is today, so did the great Apostle Paul. Guess what? I'm done. Listen, guess what? You need them just like Paul. I need them just like Paul. You and I are the collective result of all those that have poured themselves by prayer, preaching, praising God, and a multitude of other tributaries that have been poured into our life. We are who we are today and where we are today because of the tributaries God has used people and places to put into our lives. Tonight, we'll look at Romans chapter 16. He takes a whole chapter and names the tributaries. Name after name after name. Paul said, make sure, and God made sure their name, which was the tributary, made the book. I thank God for the preachers, the pastors that I've had, the churches I've had, the Sunday school teachers I've had, the mama I've had, a godly stepdaddy I've had. I thank God for his tributaries. And God have mercy on me if I just hoard that and I don't become a tributary for others. Amen. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. Lord, I know this is a different kind of message, Lord. It went along. But God, I beg of you that you'd help us all, Lord, to have our appetite, Lord, God, to a place, and Lord, that we would just have enough to have been said this morning, God, that would whet our appetite to where we would be willing to come back tonight, Lord, to get this tremendous truth. Lord, it's one of the greatest failures as believers we're experiencing. Where we take and we receive, but we don't give out. We don't give back to you. Oh, we may write tithe checks and faith promise checks, but Lord, you don't want our money. You don't need it. You want us. And you want to be able to use us like you did Paul. I beg of you, Lord, that Morningstar Baptist Church would be a tributary, a place that people could come in and grow and be nourished and be refreshed and get help from God. I beg of you, Lord, you'd give us some mamas and daddies that say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to be some dried up Baptist, but I'm going to be a tributary to where my children can get help, where I can pour my life into my children, and what I pour into them will be straight from the throne of God. Help us, Lord. Help us. I beg of you, and I'm going to ask you this last thing as I close for the challenge I made about tonight. For Jesus' sake, help us, Lord, not to spit in your face tonight, but to come back to our Father's house and show you that we love you. I do love you, Lord, only because you first loved me, and I thank you. Bless now as we go our separate ways, and we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Christ's name. We pray, believe it.